conference today is Sunday 15th of January 2012. We are in Loa Mlat during our winter retreat. It's okay. In Plum Village, we have yatta to practice while walking, while breathing. It's very, very good yatta. It means a short poem of practice. We know that breathing is an art, and walking is also an art. The way we breathe bring us quite a lot of peace. There is a way who can bring us peace when we breathe. There is a way when we walk, it gives us peace. That is an art. So, those of you who just come to Plum Village, you must see that practice well. You really have to practice as well. Breathe in a way very very happy while doing that work. And that is an art. And if you can do it, and then you will be very happy when you walk, when you sit, when you brush your teeth, when you go to the toilet, when you enjoy a sip of tea, when you enjoy the piece of bread, and anything. And we must do that. It's a very simple but profound practice. Don't miss it if you just come here for one day or 2 days, 3 days. That is so important for, it's very crucial for your practice. And even those who practice for very long, they still practice. And we know that the Buddha, he has a lot of happiness when he breathes. The Buddha, he has a lot of happiness when he breathes. When he walk, he's happy when he walk. When he is happy when he eat. And that is why we have some experience. Like sometimes we sit and we are so happy, but there are moments where also when we breathe, we are also very happy. This moment when we walk, we feel so happy and peaceful. And we know that the Buddha can do it. And that is the way the Buddha wants to share to us, and don't miss it. Because we have experienced the moment where you are happy, when you walk, when we breathe, when we eat, and so we know that the Buddha is somehow in us. The Buddha is in us. Taking refuge in the Buddha in myself. And so we invite the Buddha in us to breathe for us, to walk for us. And we know that when we walk, we breathe, and we have the quality of that breathing, of that walking. And so if that quality is increased, is the Buddhahood in you, then the element of Buddha in you is increasing. And so you walk with the feet of Buddha in you. You walk in the way that you feel very relaxed, very peaceful, very free of all your agitation and worries. So when you are in difficulty, please leave your difficulty behind and let the Buddha walk for you, breathe for you, eat for you, and for a while we feel better. So in Buddhism, we know that everyone have the Buddha nature in each of her or each of him. So if we know that, and if we keep in mind that, and we keep that nature of Buddha in us, and then this will become a kind of, you know, that I have the Buddha in me, I have peace in me. We have a back, and we invite the back of the Buddha to be in us. So our back is straight, but not rigid. Straight, but relaxed. So we invite the back of the Buddha in our back, so our back will be straight and relaxed. So when we sit, we invite the Buddha to sit, so we feel that our sitting position is so beautiful, and relaxing, peaceful. So the second gatha is the Buddha is breathing, the Buddha is sitting. I can breathe, I can sit relaxingly, happily. So the third gatha, is the third gatha is go to looking deeply. The first and the second is for stopping and relaxing and touching peace. And the third one is Buddha is breathing. Buddha is breathing, Buddha is sitting. Only Buddha in us who can breathe in such a way, and only the Buddha in you who can breathe in such a way. Buddha is sitting, Buddha is breathing. If another person who sits and who breathes is not such high quality, is breathing. Buddha is the sitting, Buddha is the breathing. And that sitting have very high quality. And when you see, you look at the position, the quality of the sitting, we know that there is Buddha in that sitting. If another person sit, the quality of the sitting is not such high. When you look at the quality of your breathing, and you know that the quality of your breathing today is so peaceful, so deep, so relaxed, so mindful, and you know that this Buddha is in you. But you look at your breathing and you say that my breathing is so agitated today, is the Buddha is not here. So you have to invite the Buddha in you to really help to increase the quality of your sitting, to increase the quality of your walking or your breathing. It's in your breathing that you can discover Buddha. You can discover Buddha in your breathing. You can discover Buddha in your sitting. Don't try to find Buddha outside of this breathing and this sitting and this acting. That is a true insight. And during Christmas, the sister of New Hamlet gave to the brothers in Up Hamlet a printing machine. The sister of New Hamlet gave to Up Hamlet a printing machine because they overheard that in Up Hamlet they don't have the printing machine. So the sister in New Hamlet offered to the brother. And the sister said that when you make use of your printing machine or your photocopy machine, you have to use correctly. So there is the printing but not the printer. There's no printer that we have seen. We press the button and then we don't do anything, and there is only the printer, not the printer, because you are not there. So there is a printer but not the printer. And the sister remind the brother that when they print, they have to remember that there's a printing going on, but not the printer. So when you invite the Buddha to sit and to breathe, and don't think that there is a Buddha who is standing outside of you, but the Buddha is breathing, the Buddha is sitting. That breathing is a Buddha, that sitting is a Buddha. And try to find the Buddha outside of the breathing and the sitting in you. When we say that it's rain, it rains. In Vietnamese, we say trời, it means the sky. In Vietnamese, textually, trời means sky and rain. It rains. So we see that it's two, the rain and the subject is it. There is a rainer who is there to rain. But you look deeply, you see that there is no rainer. This rain. There's no one who make rain. The air, cold air, touch the vapor, the cloud is transformed into rain. So there is not a rainer. When we say that the wind blows. But looking deeply, it looks like there is a subject for blowing and the verb blows. And we think that, can you say that the wind sometimes blows, sometimes not blow? No. When it's not blow, it's not the wind. If it doesn't blow, it's no wind. The wind is the blows. Outside of the blowing, there is no wind. So when we said that the wind blows, it's not correct. So we think that behind the wind, there is somebody who blow. There's no blower behind. No Buddha behind. The Buddha is sitting. The Buddha is breathing. Buddha is breathing. Buddha is sitting. Don't try to search for the Buddha outside of that. When we understand that the rain, there is no rainer, there is only wind but no blower, and we know that there is sitting, no wood, no sitter or no breather. There is printer thing but not the printer. That is a vision, that deep vision that we must receive, we must achieve it, realize that there's a insight, very deep insight that you, every of us must realize it. If we are attached to a subject, self, a self-object, separate self-object, and then you are caught. So the Buddha is sitting, the Buddha is breathing. That is the teaching so profound offered by the Buddha. So if you want to heal yourself, to transform your suffering, you must learn that as a principle, the core teaching. When you sit, you see what? You sit you see what? You see your body. Your body is a form. And you see what? You see your feeling. And you see your perception. And you see your every other mental formation. And you see your consciousness. And then all these things enter all. They weave to each other and flowing as a river. They flow as a river. Outside of these five skandhas is form, feeling, perception, mental formation, and consciousness. Outside of these five skandhas, there is nothing. There is no separate self. Your so-called self is made of these five skandhas. And these five skandhas are like five rivers flowing the form. Every cell of your form change. Every feeling of you change and flowing. And every perception also change and flowing. And so when you see a river, the river is what? The river is the totality of many drops of water. Outside of this drop of water, there is no river outside of this drop of water. On countless of drop of water come together, it's make a river. And outside of the drop of water, there is no river. So we too, we are the coming together with five skandhas. Form, feeling, mental perception, etc. And then in that there is no boss, not a subject, separate, independent, totally different from others. So we don't have a separate self, because our self is the totality of our form, feeling, mental perception, consciousness. So perception, so on. So we used to have a notion. We are caught by a notion that there's something permanent, profound, and stay behind, underneath of form, feeling, perception, mental formation, and we believe that deep. Under the form, feeling, mental formation, consciousness, there's something, and that something maybe is a soul. That is a kind of wrong perception, an illusory perception. There is a construction of our mind. It's a construction of our mind. We try to discriminate. We try to construct in our mind something, and in Sanskrit term is vikalpa. And all our suffering that we are bearing is based on there is a separate self. Me who have been terrorized, me who have been punished, me, and because we have that me, that I, that separate self who suffer and exists separately, and they are misjudged, they are mistreated, they receive a lot of suffering. But when our body disintegrate, on our feeling of perception is no longer there, and then our self is still there, and they exist in the other form. They will go to the heaven or go to hell. What we believe in that way, there is a separate self who go to heaven or go to hell. That is a wrong perception. That heretic view. And in Buddhism we call Thường Kiến. It means a caught by. thường kiến. Kiến is mean a view, but wrong view. In eternalism, eternal in French. Eternalism, it means you believe that there's something eternal, separate, eternal. That is very wrong. Because that self at a 5-year-old and that self of 25-year-old is already quite different. So they are changing, so that is flowing. So your feeling can change, can flow. This, and we know everything. Many of us learn Buddhism very well, but we still believe that there is a separate soul who stay underneath and is go to heaven or go to hell. So that view is a kind of wrong view. The view about permanence, the view of eternalism is a wrong view. There is another view, it's go opposite way. Is when your body is disintegrate. When your body is disintegrate, you have no feeling, no perception, no mental formation, and so there is nothing left. That is a wrong view too. Yeah. When you die, that's all. That's the end. That is another wrong view. Another wrong view. That is annihilation when you die. There's nothing left. Nothingness. Annihilation. The two opposite way of seeing things is to opposite view, and that is Kiến, it means wrong view, but Chánh Kiến, it means a right view is overcome both. The right view go up, not permanent, not impermanent. Nothing is born, nothing die. So, there are only the continuation. For instance, when the cloud is no longer a cloud, and then it become a kind of rain, and the rain will join the creek to the river, and they continue their stream, their courses, and the nature of a cloud is no thường, it means no eternalis, no annihilis, no annihilis, no eternalis. Thường kiến, it means exist long time, it's eternal. Đoạn kiến is a shortcut. You feel that when you die, there's nothing left. Annihilism. So in Buddhism, we used to invite people to look deeply about impermanence. Impermanence means everything change. And it changed very quick. From every shatna, shatna is the shortest period of time. It means 1 million of second, something like that. So because everything is changing every second, every minute, and so the matters can only exist in every shatna. The next shatna, your body is already changed a bit, and another minute later, your body is already changed. And so like the flame, when you look at the flame, you feel that there is a flame separately exists out of you. But in fact, the flame only like a river. There is many little flame who die and many little flame who born. Because die of what? Because it has been made with that substance. And that substance, when it's already used and disappear, and then they have to use all the substance in order to keep the flame alive. Yeah, and then our body too. Our body too. Our body also have. When you are just born, look at yourself. When you are just born, you are very tiny baby, and you at 5 years old is already different from the tiny baby, and you at 10 years old is different. And you now are totally different from the baby, and so things are impermanence, including your body, including your feeling, including your perception. So look at your body at 5 years old, and you at 25 years old, you see that quite different. If we say that we are one with the 5-year-old child, it's not correct. But if you say that that 5-year-old child have nothing to do with you, it's also incorrect. And so there is a deep link between these children and you. About the time, we are impermanent. Look at the time, and then we see that we are changing. We are now is different from you in 2 minutes later, and you now are different from you 5 minutes earlier, and so you are changing in time. But look at in a space, in a large scale, and then this impermanence become no self. Self is what? Is something permanent. Self is something permanent. But you do not have a separate self. Because you, 5 minutes before, a number of yourself have been died, and number of new self have been born. And then you look deeper, so you are quite different from what you receive now. And then I invite you to receive the knowledge of these patriarchs, and you look and you see, and then you receive quite number, and so yourself is no longer yourself before the Dhamma talk. And so in the space is you are different, but in time you are spent. So you try to avoid to eternalism. It exists forever, ever, and annihilism, it means nothing left when you die. So when you sit, do sitting meditation, you can look at you, and you see that you are not yourself. You are the coming with many, many stream of ancestors, of parents, of our grandparents. We are not totally our father, but we are on continuation, some part of our father, some part of our mother, some part of our great ancestor. So we are the continuation of our father, but in different way. It means we have more seat of that ancestor, other seat of ancestor, more seat of that mother, and so on. So this combination of many, many elements, and you are not a immobile self, a hermetic self. No, you don't have it. You are the continuation of this self, this talent, these qualities, this weakness of your father, mother, ancestor, and the insight full of that ancestor, other ancestor. So you have to overcome the separate self in you, And if you see that you have not that separate self, you don't have to suffer. That is the unskillfulness of that person and that misperception of other part, my unskillfulness of my part, and so on. It's come to the fact that things happen like that. And I suffer. No, I don't have a separate to suffer because when this bad incident come and then my unskillfulness is happened like that. So living in the Sangha, we are happy or not? It depends on our way of seeing things like that. Are you happy? If you feel that you are very unhappy because they torture you, they criticize you, they are unkind to you because you are caught by your separate self. But if, and then you continue to suffer, but if you see that, oh, that unskillfulness of this sister or this brother because he have a heavy heritage and he behave like that and he misperceived me and I also have that. And so you see that you let go. So you are caught by the separate self and you are angry and you are angry at you are angry at others. And if you cannot accept yourself, you cannot accept others. If you cannot accept the sister and the brother in the practice, you cannot go far. We have to start like this. I accept myself. I am a stream of continuation of my ancestor. The culture of my ancestor is like that. The behavior of my ancestor is like that. And in me, there is these talents. In me, there is these weaknesses. I accept this talent. I accept these weaknesses in me. It doesn't mean that I'm powerless. No, I'm not powerless. With my mindfulness, I look deep. I can transform that negative part of the element of my ancestor. I can improve that weakness part of my ancestor in myself. And so they can go together. It's not powerless. You are not powerless. Thanks to mindfulness, you can see deeper. You accept the heritage you receive, the heritage of that river you receive, many qualities, many weaknesses, many bad things, many good things. And then you accept. But you know that with mindfulness, you can change. You can improve. So when somebody look at you and appreciate you, or despise you, or misjudge you, and if you have that wisdom, but deep vision, you are not touched. If they appreciate you, oh, they appreciate a number of good things that I received from my ancestor. I have nothing to be proud of that. If they appreciate me, oh, that I receive quite a lot of my ancestor. I have nothing to be. And they despise me because of that weaknesses. Well, that is also weakness transmitted to me by my ancestor, okay, I accept, I try to transform. And so, we have to accept everything, the weakness, the talent, not to be proud, the weakness, not to have low self-esteem. And then, if we have that quality, this talent, that is me. But that is me, not a separate me. But that the continuation of many roots of my ancestor coming to me. And we know how to explore in order to improve. So if somebody misjudged you, you have to accept. And you say that you have said something is somehow correct partly. In me, that is good, but in me, there is also the opposite side. So those who appreciate me, thank you for appreciating me, but you only see one part of me, but you don't know that I have many weaknesses to do. And so you don't have to be proud, and then, but if you say like that, but somebody appreciate you, and 2% appreciate you, and slowly you become, you think that you are the daughter of the king, of the king of the heaven. It means outer heaven, the king of the heaven. You think that you are the king of the heaven. So people appreciate, continue to appreciate you. You think that you are the king of the heaven. You say that if somebody appreciate you, you say that, wow, you have said something correct, partly, because I have many other weaknesses I do not tell you, and you do not see yet. And so you don't have that high self-esteem. But if somebody said that, you have no value, you cannot do anything, you have many weaknesses, and then you say that he or she said only partly, not all. I still have many other good things I can have, and you answer to that in silence, or saying nice thing, and so you only see partly of myself. You don't see the totality of myself. I have many other things, much better. So that is a mantra I propose. You have to speak. So that is a mantra I propose. Somebody come and appreciate you. You have to recite that mantra. You appreciate too much, but you didn't see many weaknesses of me. You only see partly of myself. And that is the truth. You do not lie, is not pretend to be humble, but you have to see it, and you say frankly, loudly or not loudly, but you say that is only part of myself. I have many other weaknesses that I don't know. So, we accept him like himself, her like herself. That good part, but they also have other weak part. Because you behave to you like that. In you, there is many wonderful things, but many weaknesses. You accept both part of you, the wonderful part, the bad part. But that is why you have peace. But nobody prevent you to make increasing your qualities and decrease your weaknesses. And it's the same dream for other person. So before judging or shouting at somebody, you have to look deeper instead of saying that you have no value. And so before judging your sister, your brother, you say that, well, I know that you have many quality, but here there is that weaknesses. I wish that you can improve. But in our Sangha, there are people who are very sensitive. And even one little judgment make them bruise, very unhappy. And so, when we accept ourselves with all our weaknesses, and then we have peace, we don't judge ourselves, we accept ourselves like that. Yes, I have many qualities, but I have these weaknesses. But I will try, I try to work to do it better and better, slowly, at my speed. Yeah. And so, and if you look at you like that, and then you can look at others like that. But if you look at people with the judgment look, so everyone have to learn to look at ourselves. And so we have to learn to train ourselves to look at others with the loving look like you look at yourself. And so, dear brother, dear sister, I accept you as you are. even with the number of your weaknesses. But I dream, I wish that you can be better. Even that person have many weaknesses, however, she or he is many, many talented, many positive things. No one have no positive thing. So when somebody judge you wrongly, you have to have that. Yeah. And you have to say that he is partly right, because he have not seen the other part of me. The other person only see partly of me. She doesn't see all the great part of me, okay? So you're not that unhappy at all. You cannot see yourself all. Why you can expect the other can see you all? And so living with the Sangha, living in society, we need to have that wisdom in order not to be unhappy. All the talent, all the qualities you have, don't think that is yours. This you receive from your ancestor. And then when you have a number of good qualities and people appreciate you, there's a deep gratitude in you toward the ancestor who gave you that qualities, that behavior. So if we have a beautiful, lovely body and face, and then don't be so proud that you are the beauties, and you said that is a continuation of my mom, my grandmom, my grandmother, father, so on. So if you have not very beautiful face, don't be caught by, oh, how I look ugly, I do not have the beautiful visage like other person. You accept you as you are. You accept the heritage you receive from your ancestor, from your parents, and with the weaknesses. But when you accept, it doesn't mean that you accept forever and you decide to keep that weakness forever. No, you accept in order not to judge, but you know that everything is impermanent. Everything bad I receive from my ancestor can be transformed, and I will become more tolerant. I can be better, and it's the same for toward other person. Dear brother, dear sister, I accept you as you are. And when you do like that, the other person will be happier. But it doesn't mean that you do not wish that she will be better. So and we can nobody prevent you to wish that she will be better, he will be better. And the mantra that I propose for all of us, you are partly right about your judgment to me. Your judgment to me could be appreciation. Your judgment to me could be reproaching, complaining. And so you are partly truthful. You are partly true on your view, because that is only one part of me. Good or bad is only one part of me. And so you only speak out your dream, your wish for better, but don't make the self of others people improve or increase, but don't make the self of this other people to be low. Don't increase her low self-esteem or high self-esteem. In summary, you said that There is no separate self. There is not a separate self. There is only a stream, continuous stream of many countless of elements in and out. Continuous interbeing stream. We have to remember we don't have a separate self. We are only a stream of our ancestor with all the weaknesses and the talent, the qualities and so on. So we are our parents, we are our ancestor. The second point is you have to accept that everything, accept all the positive and negative things in that stream of interbeing. There's a river. That river receives many, many little creek going in. Your mom is one creek, your dad is another creek, your great grandma is another creek, and so you are that river, and then you receive all this contribution of many creek, your root. So the creeks who enter into your river and make your river as you are, you accept all the no positive and negative. The third one, that you do not satisfy with that, what's that static, stagnant river. No, we have to make it so that the river will be cleaner, more transparent, more pure. And so that is your determination to make the river to go in a much better direction. Increasing the positive thing, diminish the negative thing, and transform them into a better way. And purify all the negative things still exist in us. That is a way that we can help us. We can help ourselves in the part of self-support, self-transform, self-take care of ourselves. And when you can do that like that, you can look at others and you see that they also need to do that. They see that they have not a separate self. They are that stream. But if they have this talent, because their ancestors have given them such wonderful talents, but if they are be like, I like that because they also have other seed of their ancestor. It depends, it's on your view. If you have that view, that right view in you, and then you can say that, dear brother, I accept you as you are. Dear sister, I accept you as you are. Exactly like you are. It doesn't mean that I wish that you remain always negative like that and only positive like that. I wish that your positive part is increasing while you are in the practice center. Because in each of us, there are sister or brother who are very sensitive. You are not blamed. That person is not blamed at all. But your look, only your sly look to her, is make her very, very unhappy. Sometimes you didn't judge her, But you look in a casual way, but your casual way is not very mindful, so it's not very loving look. And then that sister can feel very hurt. Yeah, you know, she's so fragile, or he is so fragile. And so you have to prepare your look. Your look always full of compassion. Because in order to have compassion, you need to understand. Because if you don't understand, you cannot love. That person look ugly and bad. So how you can love? So if you have compassion in order to have a lovely look to that not very nice person, you say that, oh, she has no separate self. She has so many bad heritage of her ancestor. And that is why practicing for 10 years, 20 years already, but she is still very weak. Oh, a lot of compassion to that person. And you can look at her with a lovely look. And so you don't have to judge too much. 2-3 days ago, I speak with 3 person who just accept to be ordained. Mm-hmm. And when you feel that you are accept to be ordained, and you are very happy. So you have to learn to look at everyone with that look. That look. I accept you as you are. And even that person, even she or he have so many difficulties, you say, oh, poor sister or poor brother, she has so many bad heritage, and you still love. And with your compassion in her, you always have a lovely look. It doesn't mean that you don't have a dream, a wish, that she or he must improve. She or he have some weakness, positive thing. So you can try to transform that weaknesses. Or sometimes you think that by yourself you forget and you need the Sangha to help you. And so if you explain like that, that person will not be happy. And the happiness in the Sangha will increase. Our look said something. And sometimes we didn't open our mouth, but our look speak a lot. But sometimes our look speak sometimes, unmindfully our look do not speak, but other people still feel hurt because she or he was so fragile. So we can have a chance to bring happiness to others. These 3 points you need to put into practice into yourself. First, I don't have a separate self. Second, I accept everything negative and positive. And the third one, I try to increase in the better direction. These 3 points for myself and these 3 points for others. That is why from now, when somebody appreciates you, instead of to be so proud of that, and you can say that, oh, what you said is only partly correct. I still have many other weaknesses. And somebody despises us, reproach us, we say that. And you are nothing, no value. So, yeah, I accept I have quite a part of no value, but I still have many other good things. But sometimes you don't need to speak anything, but you leave the things. You keep silent, but you don't feel hurt. You feel hurt because you are reproached. You don't feel proud when they appreciate. You keep silent. You are correct only, partly only. You are correct partly only. And before you appreciate something, and you know that other person will recite that sutra, that mantra inside. Only partly right. That's enough for today, and we need to learn 4 more mantras. It's great. Now, I promise that I look at all of you like that, with that look. I accept you as you are, but I also have a deep wish that you be better. The 38. When we are suffering, and we said the 38, in the midst of suffering, people can say, I'm suffering, or I'm happy. This kind of mental construction concerning suffering give rise to view, being caught in view. This view give rise to that view and other views as well. So, in suffering, we say that we are suffering, or we can say that we are happy, and that is a kind of discrimination. It means a divide. And then you have a kind of construction of our mind, and that construction of our mind give birth to other construction of our mind. And then this kind of mental construction concerning suffering give rise to view. Dong vision, it means born from others' conditions, based on other conditions that they are born. And they are also give birth to other condition. They are also conditioned to give birth to other view and other construction of our mind. When we have, if we have a wrong perception about ourselves, about a separate self, and then we suffer, or we are happy. Because we have a wrong perception about our separate self, about, and so you feel that, oh, I'm happy, because you feel that you are separate self, and or I'm suffering, because you see that you are separate self. So, when you say that I'm suffering or I'm happy, that because you are caught in a separate self. Yeah, the suffering is arising. You only say, you must say that the suffering is arising. Don't say that I am suffering. You only say that the suffering is arising. If there is a joy which is arising, and you say that there is a joy which is arising, you don't need to say I am joyful, because you don't have a separate, you don't have a separate self. So there is a joy is arising. There is a sadness is arising. But you don't need an I. And when you avoid to use that I, it's him. There is rain, but no rainer. There is blow, but not, wind. And so, there is a suffering, there is a joy, there is a happiness, but there is no I. And because that is a training for you to don't have, to see that you don't have a separate self, and then you are, it's easy for you to undo the suffering. But if you are not, you are caught by a separate self, and then it's more difficult. So when that phân biệt is vikalpa, discrimination, when you discriminate, you say that is that. The happiness and the suffering are opposing. So you feel that the suffering is opposed to the joy, and the left is opposed to the right. The upper part is opposed to the low part. So that is a kind of discriminative view. When you look at this marker, you see that there's a left and the right. And you think that right is have a separate self, and left have a separate self, and they are fighting each other because they are not they are existing outside of each other. But if you look deep, you see that they are one. It's only two parts of themselves for that self. Mm. Without the left, there is no right. No right is no left, no above, no below. So that from that part, you give birth to other part give birth to that part, and they enter all in the dualist, in the non-dualistic way. But in the dualistic way, you say that that right is different from left, above is different from low. But the right view is you see that they enter all. And you see that we co-being. The left hand cannot exist by itself alone. The left have to coexist with the right. And the right cannot be by itself alone. The right have to be based on the left for existing. Born from this and give birth to death. There's the root of the past born from this. But you become condition of the future. To that. So what is your practice? That is not theory. You need to practice. The practice is when you suffer, when your suffering is appearing, you have to look at that suffering and say that that suffering is born because of these conditions. Condition of my family is like that. The wrong perception of the other person is like that. My wrong perception is like that. And you look, and you found, you will find many conditions who lead you to that bad situation. So you call suffering. If you don't have a notion clearly, if you have a notion of non-self, and suffering have no chance to manifest. If we say that tôi khổ, I am suffering, that is wrong. Because there is no sitting, no breathing. There is only breathing, there is no I who sit. No Buddha who sit, but there is only breathing. So there is no suffering, no one who suffer, but there is suffering. And that suffering have many conditions, that. And I try to remove, to fix that condition, and then it will be good. So if you have that joy, you have that joy because there is many conditions who come, and so that is make you joyful. So you don't have so that I am joyful, but there is a joyful who is manifesting, and thanks to these conditions, and the discrimination, the distinction between the suffering and me, and see that me and suffering is different. That is also a tagging, it means heretic view. It's also vikalpa, imagination, the kind of construction of your mind. We own the Dhamma, it means own things in this world, on the even things in this world. It lies on many conditions. And when it's, and then we can say that sajati, it means everything in the arm. So when you see that you have a right view about you, you look at yourself and you feel that you are not a kind of permanent self, immobile, but you are a stream of water continuing, and so you can go out of your separate self, and you see that and you see many wonderful things in you, you say that that is not myself, it's not my separate self, but there are good seeds of my ancestor, but they are conditioned who finally I can come to this practice and I can overcome, I can accept myself, and then I will accept others. Also, when we see other person, this person have no separate self. This other person have many qualities and many weaknesses. And then you feel relaxed. You're happy. You're not angry. You don't complain. This is give birth to that. When God said that, may light appear. When God said, light manifest. And light have to say that, no, I have to wait. May darkness, darkness and light, we are manifesting in the same time. So in Buddhism, there is that waiting each other. Light and dark must as appear in the same time. When God said that, light appear. And then light has said that, and God said that, you wait for what? Yeah, I wait darkness in order to light and darkness appear in the same time. Without darkness, nobody can recognize that I'm light. And if there is no light, and darkness will not recognize. And so God said that the darkness already exists. And so light said that I already exist. Because if light, this darkness already there, and then I'm already there. And if the left said that I need the right need to wait for the left. So both of them have to appear at the same time. Do you understand? So easy, huh? And on this pair of birth, death, coming, going, inside, outside, they are like that. They manifest in the same time. We cannot say that this one exists first. If there is above, there is below. If there is left, there is right. If there is inside, there is outside. And so we are waiting. In Buddhism, supersymmetric 39. During the time where manas is a kind of ego, a kind of perception to see that we have a separate self, we are important, that kind of ego. So manas, when manas rely on the store consciousness, and they have a kind of ether perception. They have a kind of puzzle. So they have a kind of mental consciousness. Mental consciousness could be in work, could be sleeping. Mind consciousness sometimes is work, sometimes is sleeping. But manas continue to work. Mind consciousness our storage consciousness could be the fire. Manas is have the tendency to grasp a wrong perception. That wrong perception is we have a separate self. And that separate self have been hurt, have been condemned, have been judged and so on. So instead of saying that I am suffering, And when there is a joy, I am joyful. So because there is intervention of manas, of that ego, that I am happy or I am suffering or I am so proud of my work and so on. So manas have the tendency to avoid suffering. Manas have tendency to run after, to crave after pleasure, sensation, and so on. They didn't know. They didn't know that the law of moderation, manas, ego, do not know the law of moderation. They're always craving, craving, craving for fame, for money, for sex, for many other things, food. So mana, sometimes they call tư lượng. The nature of manas is tư lượng. It means judging, measuring so that you have more joy, more pleasure, measuring how to avoid suffering. But they lack the ability to see that in that joy, there is a lot of seed of suffering. And that mental formation, that manas, do not see that in the suffering you cannot learn it. So that mentation of manas. Sometimes we can translate by cogitate. Cogito is knowledge, is in Latin. Mental consciousness, sometimes manas is continuous. Continuous is mean when you sleep, manas still work. But mind your consciousness, sometimes when you sleep, you really sleep, and you do not have any dream. And that during that time, that consciousness really sleep. When you have coma, is also sleep. Your consciousness also sleep. But when you go in a deep concentration and stop to think, and then you also enter into that state. But ikang is mean the base of the consciousness, and the base of consciousness is always, yeah, ikang here is manas, is always whole. Hold the store consciousness like a separate self. And so some suffering go with that manas, that ego, because it's ego, that manas, polluted manas. And so they believe that you have a separate self. And because you have a separate self, that you suffer, and then you think that there is a birth, death, it will be, you can receive it later. They go together. If we really need to be liberated from this suffering, or liberated from this affliction, if you want all these things to be destroyed, you have to see. You have to see that there is no thing. It means before that and no after that. So during the time where your ego is polluted, your manas is polluted, and then all the suffering have changed to your chance to manifest or disappear. The liberation is manifesting when you see that no before, no after. It means the destruction of all these wrong perceptions. It's actually, I translate from the English, from the Vietnamese. As long as the text somebody translate, maybe this is the Thầy said that in order to understand the 39, you need to learn the Gata number 40. It is not after the liberation has arisen that different pure Dharma can arise. Not because other Dhammas have been born that this pure Dhamma will be born. It means that the pair suffering and happiness or ignorance and enlightenment. Yeah. Ignorance and enlightenment is two things different. One is suffering and one is enlightenment, liberation. It means this gata means that not because of the suffering exists first. And don't think that because suffering exists first and thanks to your practice and you have enlightenment. You have enlightenment. And see in the dualistic way like that. In fact, enlightenment and suffering exist in the same time, like darkness and light. And if we look at the view of interbeing, you can see that in order for seeing light, you need darkness. And in order to have right, you have to have left. And right and left exist in the same time. Darkness and light exist in the same time. And so, enlightenment and suffering manifest in the same time. Don't say that you need to have remove all the suffering in order to have the enlightenment and so on. This is a pair of birth, death, and nirvana. Birth, death, and nirvana. Birth, death, and nirvana, it means extinction of the birth, death. And everybody know that, you know, the aim of your practice is you overcome birth and death, and you arrive to nirvana. And according to this gata, it means that birth and death exist first, and then after your practice you become, you can enter into nirvana. According to this teaching, if there is birth and death, there is also nirvana. Birth and death and nirvana are two opposite sides of one reality, like light and right and left, up and down. And so we can say that God said that light appear, and light said that I wait for darkness. And because darkness and light come together, and then if God said that darkness already exists, and then you have, so in that case, I also exist. If our view is wrong, it will become birth and death. And if our view are correct, there is nirvana. It's the same. If it's a wrong perception, you see that birth and death is so suffering, I just lost my beloved one. That is a wrong perception. But if you have nirvana, extension of all the notion about birth and death, and your beloved one is still there in you, everywhere in you. So in the Buddhist literature, we used to hear Nirvana and Shintu. The Nirvana and the birth and death are only flower in the air. Only flower in the air. Don't think that they are different from each other. They are only, because they are that, the other exists, like we said about historical dimension and ultimate dimension. They are not two things different. Look in this way, you see in historical dimension. Look in other way, you see ultimate dimension, like the water and the wave. Look at this way, you see that's a lot of water making this wave. Look at others say, you see that a number of good things. So we cannot say that the wave exists first and then the water exists after. No, they have to exist in the same time. Like you see, you look at the cloud. You look at a cloud and then you see that the cloud have birth and death. The coming of all the vapor become a cloud when it's rain and it disappear. So you look at the historical dimension, you see that the cloud have existence and dying, the death of a cloud. But when you see that part and we don't feel peaceful, we have some fear. But we look deeply in each of us, and then we can see that the cloud never been born and never die. The cloud do not come from nothing and will not go to nothingness. And we can see the no birth, no death of a cloud. You look at the cloud, you can see that and you look at the cloud, you see the world of birth and death. But you look at the cloud, you also see the world of nirvana. So nirvana or birth and death. But and if you look superficially, you see that there is only birth and death, and you suffer. And then you have to accept suffering, to accept the death, and you cry and you suffer. But if you can have a look deeper and you see that there's no birth, no death, you are nirvana. Because you have suffering because you are caught by your separate self. And because you have that separate self, you suffer. And here is appreciation, here is suffering. Criticism, and then so suffering and nirvana. Suffering do not exist first and nirvana after. Wherever there is suffering, there is nirvana. Wherever there is birth and death, there is nirvana. Where there is joy, there is sadness. And then when you are wake up, look deep and you see that you do not run after nirvana, because wherever you are in the world of birth and death, you already have nirvana. there is a Zen master in the Li dynasty. He asked, one student of him asked, where shall I find the no birth and no death, dear teacher? Because if no birth, no death, we arrive to that place and we are very happy. And the teacher said that you have to find the no birth, no death in this world of birth and death. You have to search for nirvana in this world of birth and death. In this world of suffering, you search for enlightenment in the suffering. If you run after suffering, you will not see body enlightenment. If you run, you are afraid of suffering, you will never be, you never have enlightenment. There is no. So the 40 gathas said that not because 40 gathas, not because the suffering exists first and tends to the practice and then you have attained nirvana. No, they exist in the same time. But wherever there is suffering, you look deeper, you discover the non-separate self, and then you are liberated. You have nirvana on the right spot of your suffering. And you are liberate of what? And the when it's tainted, when it's if there is no infection, there is exist in the same time. Infection and non-infection exist in the same time. You take out infection, no infection exists right away. Tao means you undo. But it's a way of saying that you could look deeper and you see that, you see. Suffering, you see the liberation. So that is the non-dualistic view. The training for you to see things in a non-dualistic way is a 40. It's not after the liberation has arisen that the different pure Dharma can arise. The liberation that was there before was not defiled. And that is why we can say that it is liberate from the affliction. So when you say that the affliction is there, but and then the non-affliction exists already, but because there is affliction, so you look deep into affliction in order to see the non-affliction. On have been defiled. On things that have been defiled have purity as their true nature. On things that have been defiled have the purity as their true nature. The liberation that was there before was not defiled. And that is why we can say that it is liberate from the affliction. One thing that Svadagata of Thaitantu is a friend of the six patriarchs. Yeah. And he said that your mind, like the body tree, your mind is like a body tree, and your mind is like a mirror, and you have to sweep away on the dust. You have to dust regularly in order for your mind to continue to shine. So the mirror the shining mirror. Because there is a shining mirror, so there is dust. Dust is like affliction. And the shining mirror is like your enlightenment. And if we say that, no, the dust exists first, and then the mirror, the shining mirror exists after. Yeah. And so if we say that we remove the dust, and then the mirror is there, the shining mirror is there. But if you say that the dust exists first, and then you have to remove the dust, and then the mirror appear, exists after, no. They have to exist at the same time. And when you remove the dust, the mirror shines. If there is no object for you to be, yeah, if there is no dust for you to be dirty, and then how you can sweep away, you can remove the dust in order to shine. So don't say that the affliction exists first. Don't say that the dust exists first. And we have to take out the dust in order for the mirror to exist. No, mirror and dust exist in the same time, but we only remove the dust. We only need three more gatha. And then it's the end of this text. And then after that, we learn all the texts. About entire being, it will be very great too.